Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 24th day of September 2010. Currencies and commodities, can they rally together or not? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Our panelists in studio today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Aaron Curtis of Mitco out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's start out with this question. Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. On Friday afternoon, you and I discussed the currencies. Rally together is not quite the right word, but there are some rallies there. The dollar is down. They're messing with currencies. We don't know exactly what's happening with China. How does it all work into the commodity markets?
Well, I think to start off with, the biggest thing that we've seen in the currency markets for me, Todd, has been the way the Japanese yen and the gold and the Japanese yen and the corn have had such a strong, strong correlation since the beginning of this year. Now, that goes back to the emerging markets and the funds buying riskier assets because the emerging markets, especially China and India and the BRIC economies, have been able to lead the global recovery. This is something that's been happening since 1997 when the emerging markets went to an export-type marketplace. And they decided we want to peg our currency to the dollar, keep it low, and export our way out of the hole. And so that's great as long as the global economy is fine. But the problem becomes if the global economy is not fine and the United States and Japan and other developed countries in Europe want to become exporters, there's the rub. And that's what we're contending with right now is we're getting more protectionist as time goes on. And China and the United States ratcheted up problem area with protectionism this week. Japan did it last week by intervening in their currency markets as well.
Yeah, so the idea then, Aaron, is that we want to know if China were to let their currency float, which if Washington, D.C. is correct, it should rally. What happens with the corn and the bean market in particular?
Well, I think that'd be an interesting question. Obviously, from a demand standpoint, you know, maybe make things a little more competitive for our commodities over here anyway. At least that's the goal as we continue to see China's currency fluctuate a little bit. But I'm interested to see how that would influence the dollar, maybe even see some strength going forward, and that would be maybe level off the dollar the corn and beans just a tad bit going forward. But it, interesting dynamic, I think, could unfold there as we head towards the fall months if something like that would happen.
No, and we can simplify it and simply say it has to do with exports, right?
Well, our exports, when our dollar is low, are cheaper to other countries. But China is letting their dollar or where their yuan or whatever they call it grow, but they're limiting it and letting it grow at their pace, not at a fair market value. And that's not going to change no matter how much the U.S. yells and hollers at them. So I think that we're going to continue where we're at. The dollar in the last year has been all over the place, but we've just been down a bunch the last few days this week.
Mike mentioned a word that scares a lot of people from time to time, protectionism. Do you think that's in the winds?
I don't fear the protectionism that much. I think China needs so much that they're going to buy no matter what. India is growing. They need material. So I'm not as afraid of protectionism as a lot of people are.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers in Chicago for the week. Soybeans this week, since we're talking about China, at a high in the November at $11.28 and a quarter, a low at $10.68 and a quarter there. Settlement price was 57 cents higher at $11.26. Next year's November at $10.98 and a quarter, up 42 and a quarter. How are soybeans around the Bloomington area?
Pretty good. I mean, obviously, we got a long ways to go. I saw a few combines running here as I headed over here this afternoon. But for the most part, not a lot of beans have been cut at this point. I think this next week to 10 days is going to tell a little more of the story on bean yields, as it looks like we got a little bit of a nice window to get some beans in. But so far, the early yields have been pretty favorable to pretty happy so far.
Early yields in McLean County are doing well. How about regionally, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio? What do you hear?
Well, Iowa hadn't done much yet, but what I've heard is good. Illinois all over, unless you go deep south, are good. We're hearing bean yields in places better than corn yields. The corn has been so crazy, but bean yields in general are better than expected.
And they're bean yields better than expected, yet we have a harvest time rally. Does that make sense to you?
Well, look at what China's been doing on buying, and they're looking at maybe acreage cuts. Bean yields, I think the yield will go up the next time USDA comes out with reports from actual harvest. So, you know, it's just usage, and China buying is helping pull them up.
They bought last year. They bought early. They bought long. Will they continue to do that this year?
The trade thinks, though, I'm skeptical because it goes back to the Japanese-U.S.-Chinese political side of the equation. I think, Todd, bottom line for me is that at $11 lead month futures, there is a lot of bullishness priced into beans. The USDA is at 350 carryover. I think that's closer to right than wrong. But at $11 lead month beans, I think the trade is pricing in almost under a 200 million bushel carryover at this point, based upon the price model I use. So I think the trade's already baked into the cake, 52 to 55 million tons of beans going over to China next year, just by the price level we're at. Now, obviously, we can keep feeding the bull with continued problems in Brazil and South America when it comes to their drought that they're starting to find. I think that really underscored the desire by potential bears to stay away from beans this week, when we started to hear about cotton and we started to hear about sugar and coffee problems, and that this is really starting to stick in terms of the weather pattern being very, very dry down there. But I fear we have a lot of premium in the beans, and to me, fundamentally, they're still the leader to the downside at this point.
Okay, there's fear here that there's a lot of premium in the beans. Tell me about the carry in the marketplace, or lack thereof.
Well, yeah, I think we've got most of it factored in here nearby. I think the market's anticipating that a little bit bearish scenario here is mostly, things are going to continue to get tightened up as we move on. At least at that point, I agree with Mike. I think the market's trading something quite a bit less than what the USDA is posting at that 350 million bushels. It'll be interesting to see what the Nov-Jan bean spread does here as we move into next week and start to get some harvest progress. At this point, you got to assume that quite a bit of the cash beans are going to get sold across the scale at these prices. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as we move forward. Reminding people that, over 50% of the open interest in the soybean market is still in the November. So it'll be interesting to see as we move into a little bit bigger harvest.
Yeah, beans at this price with the yields we have and the carryout we have, fundamentally, there's no reason for it. I think it's, as Mike and Aaron talked about, all this worry that we aren't going to have that carry out. And usage is good, but we have a plentiful supply of beans and corn and wheat in the world. To see all of these things where they're at is really amazing.
So all three of you agree that maybe selling beans across the scale is the right thing to do? Is that correct? Everybody,
yes.
Should. You can't see it, but they all shake their heads. Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not, Todd? We'll go with that. All right, so flip it over. Let's talk about the corn then. December contract of 523 and three quarters top, bottom at 495 and a quarter. They were up 8.5 cents on the week at 521 and three quarters. December corn at 489 and three quarters were up 12. They would have been losers on the week if it were not for Friday.
Yeah, and if you look at the week, we had a we went through $5 last Friday, and we went to 523 and three quarters, and we went right back down 28 cents from that, and then we roared right back up to it. It gave the overbought maybe a little relief, but we're still worried about that corn yield out there and whether it's going to go how much lower, and I think that's keeping the corn going.
You think that's right? And end-user demand remains very strong?
Very strong, although the last couple of weeks in export sales have been a little bit, I would say, a little bit disappointing. But, yeah, the funds continue to throw money at this market, and then we had some heavy rains in that southern Minnesota area, which is supposed to be kind of our savior to this year's crop a little bit, and that's raised some concerns about yield potential there. But as we move into that western corn belt, I think the market's going to be pretty anxious to see if some of those yields are going to hold up the test of time and see if we can make up for some of this disappointing stuff we've seen in Illinois for sure.
We'll know more next week about the western corn belt and yields, or will it take more time than that?
Yeah, I mean, parts of it, but I looked at the precip maps Friday afternoon. It looked like some of those areas of southern Minnesota and southern Iowa and central Wisconsin, they got 6 or 7 inches of rain the last 7 days, so it may take a little bit of time with this cool front for them to dry out enough to really run a lot of corn through the fields at this point. Best thing going for corn for me was I've been keeping track of the Champagne basis real closely because I think we've all had this idea that why isn't the cash rallying? Why is the futures, you know, pulling all the weight? Maybe it's the harvest, but at some point the cash should catch. But the basis, if my numbers are right, on September 9th, the spot corn basis in Champagne was 38 under, and this week it went to 25 under. So the basis is starting to firm, and that's a nice sign for the corn and suggests the cash market has gone under pennies. You know, that if the corn breaks, even with the wheat, it may just be a correction. It may not be a complete top.
Everybody feeling still like corn's a good place to be and you want to store it?
I don't see anything wrong with selling and buying calls at these prices, okay. At these cash prices.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to pass up some of the levels we're seeing across the scale right now. It's a lot easier to own it on paper.
And the market tells you up front at this point that there's no carry in the market,
right.
So go ahead and sell it.
I would disagree. I think the spot corn is not a place to be selling. I would sell a carry, though, because you can pick up about 30 cents. If you go out to April, you can pick up about 15 cents on the futures and 15 cents on the basis. That's about 30 cents better. I could see selling that carry out there and getting well over $5. But for the spot, I'd probably rather try and work it into the paper, you know, stay away from the paper side and in terms of reownership and try and do as much in the cash as possible.
All right, the open-ended question for you, I just look at you and say wheat. What do you think?
I think the wheat is probably the best indicator for whether we are turning a corner to the downside or whether the trend is still up, with the Chicago wheat going to a carrying charge market and that carry in the premium in July increasing this past week. I think it's the most politically sensitive of all the commodities and the grains. And so to me, the wheat is the number one flag out there saying, be careful about the $6 corn argument. Be careful about the strong, strong surge in prices. I believe wheat's got to help carry that load.
December wheat, by the way, 757 on its high. The low at 693. A settlement price there at $7.20. Lost 19 and a quarter on the week. July wheat at 744.5, down 2 3/4. Wheat was where we started our rally as we headed into the harvest. Is it also where we're going to end our rally?
I think there's got to be some caution, obviously, watching the wheat market, especially as the Black Sea region kind of pulls back their reins a little bit. We kind of have a little more indecision here, especially from Russia, about what their export program is going to be moving ahead. So obviously some caution warranted there, and keep an eye on what's going to happen in that Black Sea region moving forward.
Yeah, if you look at the last 10 days, up 20, down 20, up 20, down 20, what's the rhyme or reason to it? Somebody comes out and says, we are going to export more. That was Russia. Kazakhstan said, oh, we're going to open up exports. Everything went down. When it reality comes that they're not letting any come out, or they're a lot stricter on letting any out, it goes right back up.
Cattle market broke a couple of bucks this week. October live cattle, a 96.02.5 settlement price. They were off $3.37.5. September feeders at 109.50, down 232.5. Were they just up high enough that they decided to break more, or what?
Well, they were up, you know, over 100 in the lead months, and And a little worry about the economy this week again, early in the week, and worry about what are we going to feed these cattle down the road. Are we going to feed them $5 corn?
Can we feed them off $5 corn?
Yeah, I think it's starting to obviously get some concern, and I think the hogs and pig reports maybe saw that a little bit here too this afternoon. But, you know, that cattle on feed report last Friday was a little bit on the negative side, and I think that kind of influenced where we saw futures go this week, at least for the deferred months.
And the lean hogs this week, a 79.70 top, bottom at 77.50. Settlement price there, $1.32.5 at 79.02.5. Any final word before we head into our break about the hog market?
Good numbers on the 180 and over. A lot of clients have been worried that they're going to see a bunch of big new 2010 corn being fed into a bunch of big hogs, and we're going to see a bunch of hogs come in, heavy hogs come in. The report says, no, that's not the case. So we might test those contract highs next week, Todd.
You're listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. Our panelists in studio include Aaron Curtis of Midco, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. When we return, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Much warmer than normal weather was experienced across all of Illinois this week. Temperatures ranged from 11 degrees above normal in southern Illinois to 7 degrees above normal in the north. An upper level ridge over the southern United States kept a frontal system stalled to our north most of the week, and that allowed unseasonably warm air to spread across the state. Temperatures soared into the low and mid-90s over the southern half of Illinois on Tuesday and Thursday, with a number of records either tied or broken. We got a little bit of a break on Wednesday as storms and clouds kept temperatures suppressed. Rainfall was near to well above normal north of the line from St. Louis to near Danville this week. South of the line, rainfall was generally 50% of normal. Southeastern Illinois and much of the Ohio Valley has been persistently dry for some time now. Over the last 30 days, rainfall in this area has been less than 40% of normal. High pressure will dominate Illinois weather this weekend, bringing us weather more typical of late September. An upper-level disturbance could trigger some showers on Saturday, beginning first in northwestern Illinois and then moving to the southeast as the day progresses. Once the upper low moves out of the region by Tuesday, high pressure will once again build in, and we should enjoy pleasant, dry weather the remainder of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 24th edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Aaron Curtis from Midco. Our guest on the phone line today, Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Thanks for being with us and taking the time, Glenn.
Hey, Todd. It's good to be here.
Today, Friday, was probably your kind of day in the marketplace to take a look at what's been happening in policies and protectionism and currencies. And can you give me your assessment?
Well, today was my day to write a newsletter, so I was pretty much deep into that, but very much so watching for how the week was ending and things like that. I can put it short and simple. The whole summer, early fall, mirror image of the dollar. Almost down to the swing patterns, almost to the week, soybeans, for example, are being driven higher by the declining dollar. And the I'll be the first to admit that the June failure in the dollar threw me a curve. But the pieces are falling into place. And like I say, the rallies are being driven by the dollar, and you're seeing huge speculative rotation occurring in the marketplace, which tells me that these recoveries that we're seeing this year are still an extension or a correction of the decline from the 2008 highs. That's common behavior. We saw it following the 1980 highs. We came back up in 83. And then once those were done, we renewed the bear market. So As long as the dollar's breaking near term, we let them run. But eventually, these are going to burn out, and got a pretty good idea of when eventually is.
No, well, I take it you subscribe to the double dip, so tell us when.
It's a lot more than a double dip, the way I see it. But what really, from a timing standpoint, for the first time in my entire career, which is from the early 70s, the 5.5-year cycle in corn hasn't worked for me the way I would normally expect it. It was due to be posted low this fall. So that sends me off digging, trying to make sure I've not missed something. And what I had realized, it was something I hadn't paid that much attention to, even though it's a bigger time frame, called a 9-year turn, in corn and in commodities in general, including soybeans, wheat, things like that, which I pretty much could have expected to be a low this year with corn. Instead, it looks like it's inverted, will be a high. That 9-year turn works going back 2001 lows, 1992 lows, 1983 highs, 1974 highs. Just keep it on back. What's interesting is 9 revolutions back is 1929. The vast majority of all those turns occurred in the September and primarily October time frame. So I believe that we're racing towards some October highs.
Glenn, the currency bill, you know, back in the Depression, they talked about the Smoot-Hawley tariff being a huge flag of protectionism, and that kind of started everything off and globally. Is this currency bill on that line, or is that just completely out of whack?
Well, I think what you're seeing is symptoms of it rather than direct representation of it. What we are in a time right now after the global economy, I believe, peaked in 2008, that we will trend towards nationalism, which will take some forms of protectionism eventually, but there'll probably be a lot of other kind of maneuvering anymore, because we really, on one hand, really have a national marketplace where a lot of political boundaries are now blurred anyway. But nationalism will creep up in there. I still think that in the long run that people are way too pessimistic on the dollar on a multi-year basis.
Glenn, this is Aaron. A little question about the funds. Obviously, a lot of conversation the last few weeks about how long the funds have gotten. Obviously, big contributors here again today. What's your take on how long those guys can get, and do they? I know. Can we really exist in some sort of a vacuum moving up, or is there going to be a limit in here somewhere? And what are you walking as far as a turn in what the funds might see?
Sure. I don't know the numbers that they can get to. All I know is, like corn, we went above the highs of spec positions we'd seen in 2008. There's a limit as to how far we can go, and whenever it does, we create a vacuum. Look what happened to wheat when it finally let go. We saw that rally run pretty hard, and as you guys mentioned earlier about basis and corn earlier not moving along with this thing very well, same thing happened with wheat. On that rally, they were primarily speculative rallies. I'm not saying there wasn't reason for them. There were. Corn and wheat, fundamental reasons that helped the magnitude of the rallies. But beans, for example, if you take the same argument that corn yields are short, then beans shouldn't be rallying if you're using that logic, and yet they are. And to me, it's just a rotation of capital going on. This is very, very common in the cycle of man. This commonly occurs following grand speculative peaks, like we saw in 2008, that the latent bullishness is still out there. The latent speculation is still out there. It bleeds off over time, but right now they rush for things to do. But the one thing you don't see is all markets rallying together like they did in 2007 and 2008. Because you notice what's happening in the energies, for example, particular natural gas, I believe making new lows for the year this week, things like that going on. You don't have one tide lifting all boats right now, so it is a speculative rotation going on.
Glenn, when it comes down to corn and bean fundamentals as far as yields and what we have available, what are you looking at for yields there and or carryouts, and will that affect us at all to start with?
Okay, first, I'm not a fundamentalist, but I do work with area farmers, and from the Missouri border up into southern Minnesota, and the one thing I'm clearly seeing here in Iowa, as you go farther north, the corn yields get better relative to their averages by quite significantly. Quality is exceptionally good, even on the short yields we're finding. Beans, they talk in hushed tones because they don't want people to hear how good they are. I've heard, we, even when things are good, make it tough to push into the 70s, and yet we're finding a lot of 70s starting to creep into the conversation. So I do see, yields growing in there. I do think the corn I do pay attention to climate, et cetera, and we were simply too warm on top of the water stress that we had earlier this year. We were too warm to maximize yields, I'd say south of I-80 and probably even south of I-90 for the most part. So I do expect some better yields when we get into Minnesota and such. And some of my people out of eastern Nebraska, northeastern Nebraska, are telling me on dryland corn, legitimate double-eared corn, which they measure, their yield tests show put about 20-25% onto their yield. So I'm curious to see what happens when their combines really roll. But the further north and west you go, I think the better it'll get.
Do you remain bearish into the middle of the decade?
Just a quick clarification. I'm not bearish. I'm just reporting. But, yes, the same outlook changes doesn't change, Todd. The cycle of man is out there. We've come off of a grand speculative peak. The deflation will occur unless the powers that be successfully destroy the currency, which is really, really hard to do in the long run. But they do it at their peril because then you run the risk of anarchy. But they are fighting what they know is likely to happen. When the leverage trends change, when people quit being borrowers in terms of trend and start trending towards savers, it's like trying to drown out a quarter section of gophers. You can turn the Missouri or Mississippi River down that hole, and you still won't get them all drowned out. And you start pouring that money into the economy, they don't have a way to get it into the people's hands. So, and people start becoming savers. They start locking it up, and that's where you get deflation as you unwind the leverage. No matter how much money they print, the money's got to get distributed into the general public, or else you end up deflating in the long run.
Cyclically, Glenn, looking to 2011, which would be, out of the corn, beans, or wheat, which would be the best to start hedging first if you're risk managing your profitability here?
I'd take wheat simply from the standpoint that the probability is there that you've already made a top. I have a chance of a nominal new high in wheat yet this fall and winter, but from there it's a chance that will happen. At one point in time, had we come down into this fall, like a 5.5-year cycle in corn and suggested, then we were going to be backing off on our hedging activity up here for 2011 and 12. But now, because of these patterns seem to be inverting and these are likely corrective rallies, we're now looking at extending our hedge protection into 2011 and maybe even 12 here in the next 30 to 45 days. And that'll be pretty much across the board as long as I see some kind of a climaxing action on the break in the dollar. If the dollar doesn't finish its break this fall, it could take as much as another whole year before it's ready to turn back up, and then that would keep our prices up longer.
Glenn, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're sure welcome.
Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises. He hails from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Time now for a final word from our panelists here in studio. We'll start with you, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Well, between the Japanese yen intervention, the Federal Reserve quantitative easing, and the currency bill, I'd still be looking for an end-of-the-quarter correction pullback, especially in the corn and beans, since the wheat's already had a significant one.
Aaron Curtis of Midco.
I'm kind of looking forward to that next Thursday's grain stocks report. I think you need to pay a little bit of attention to it. Obviously, the market surprised us a little bit with the June stocks report, so maybe get us a little hint on what summer demand is on that corn stocks number Thursday morning.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
I'd be rewarding these big moves up with some more cash sales and or looking at protecting the downside.
Quarterly Grain Stocks Report is due out next week. Be sure you visit us online at willag.org. If you give us your cell phone in our email newsletter subscription, we'll make sure that we send those numbers to you on your cell phone as a text message the morning of the report. You can do that at willag.org over on the right-hand side of the page. Either manage your subscription or sign up. I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media.